And yet there is another side to the Fox Valley, the dark side of the valley, the wicked Fox Cities. The man who knows all about it, ladies and gentlemen, Frank Anderson. In an expose of sorts. Frank Anderson.
Hey, Mike.
Hello again. I'm sorry, before I can't pretend I didn't see you, because I did. Wicked Fox Cities.
So you want to get wicked?
Well, you know what? People don't associate the Fox Valley generally with
wicked. I didn't
wicked.
Either. When the publisher, I wrote a blog called Wisconsinology.
Yeah.
And the publisher of the Wicked series called me and asked me if I wanted to do it. And I thought, what could possibly be wicked about
it's
the
not
Fox
like
Cities?
It's not like Hurley or something, you know.
But then a thought came to me, and I thought, thank God for Oshkosh.
Oshkosh. You mean Oshkosh. Yes. Yeah. Oshkosh is the heart of the wickedness of the...
Oshkosh is definitely the heart of wickedness.
Yeah, what transpired there?
Well, Oshkosh is where you find the most whorehouses and the most... I'm talking about the 1880s. My book starts in 1690, and it ends in MacArthur's funeral.
That's H-O-A-R. It's
Lumberjacks partied in Oshkosh. Ratting became a huge sport in Oshkosh
ratting?
In the 1880s. Yes. You fill a pit... full of rats, and you throw in a pit bull, and you bet on how many rats a pit bull can eat.
No, you're kidding me.
No, I'm not kidding. And for a short time,
I'm from out of town, and so you're just telling me anything.
No, it was a huge sport, and for a short time, Oshkosh ran out of rats. So they had to get their rats from Nina, Menasha, and Appleton.
Times are hard when you have to import rats, you know? I mean, that's pretty much a good marker there of saying tough time. So that's the worst thing that happened in the wicked Fox Valley?
No, that's not the worst. The Fox Cities were wicked in a kind of a subtle way. Uh-huh. Appleton, Nina, and Menasha was, I don't know about now with all the big box churches, but it was a Catholic center. Mm-hmm. And it was a center of homeopathic medicine, which is basically just the prescription of elixirs. And most elixirs...
Homeopathic, that's when your doctor's gay?
And the elixirs prescribed at that time, believe me, I read newspapers in whatever city I'm in from that era. I read all the old newspapers. And for some reason, the Fox Cities became completely crazy over the prescription of elixirs, homeopathic. But homeopathic medicines were just tonics that contained cocaine, opium, morphine. Laudanum was a big one. And another big one was Vinvite, which was endorsed by the Pope, advertised in our newspapers. Vinvite, which you could buy from Sears, by the way, was thick, red, syrupy wine laced with cocaine, and no Catholic home was without it.
It was not endorsed by the Pope. It was endorsed by
the Pope.
Which Pope endorsed it?
I don't know. 18, whoever was
Leo
Pope
or
in
one
18th,
of those?
Leo, one
I could
of those.
See Leo doing it.
He's on the ad holding it up like that.
No.
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Did they get a cut of it?
I mean,
I
wonder that.
Did some of it go back to the church? Why would the Pope endorsed a product? That's a good product,
it's
obviously.
It's a great product. I think it got a lot of people through that century.
And who was manufacturing all these elixirs and stuff? Where was that going on?
Right along the Fox River.
Yeah.
They're just throwing whatever they could.
So it was just water from the Fox, basically.
Yeah.
Bottled and sold.
Bottled. Well, there is a drink, Fox River water. This is from Oshkosh again.
Yeah.
And it's one half turpentine, the leftover swill beer from the previous night's tavern goings, all mixed in a bottle.
Yeah, because it all went in...
a nickel.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, even at that, it's overpriced. But, so, because everything went in the river at one time.
Everything.
Yeah. And it went into it and came out of it, basically.
That's the wicked part a lot of people ask, that I've not written about, the massive... amount of waste that was put into the Fox River.
Okay, now tell us more now. The Lost Boy, for example.
The Lost Boy?
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's a little long. You want to? Let's go to Butamore.
Okay, let's go to Butamore.
Should we go to Butamore?
Yeah. Can we come back to the Lost Boy?
We can come back to the Lost Boy.
Okay, all right. Butamore.
I'd be happy to. And then I'd love to go to Joe McCarthy.
Okay.
But Butamore, the Great Hill of the Dead, this is a favorite little chapter.
What
but
page are you going?
I'm on page 13. You can follow along.
Okay.
It mentions Mike, I was nearly born in Menasha. Almost, not
nearly,
quite.
What happened?
I was born in the Philippines instead.
Oh.
Yeah.
You missed that origami flight, huh?
This chapter, this is a very brief, I'm going to read to you from my book. You want to see my glasses? They're really cool.
Yeah. Oh, they're better than Jim's. Very nice, they clip together, very nice.
Clicks, Amazon.com. Okay.
The Pope endorsed his glasses, too.
This little segment I'm going to read you features my favorite mayor ever in the Fox Cities, Publius Virgilius Watson. Oops, sorry, Lawson. I got that wrong. And I'll just start. Can I read?
Please do.
Oh, one more preface.
Yes.
The Great Hill of the Dead, Little Lake Butamore, shadowed Little Lake Butamore for 2,000 years. And it was torn down one day in 1863.
They tore down a hill?
A huge burial mound.
Oh, it's a burial. It's a burial
massive
mound.
Burial mound. Oh. Yeah, Appleton, Menasha, I'm from Appleton now. Menasha needed a railroad to keep those clothespins and broom handles moving out of the city.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Here we go. 1863, Butamore. The Northwestern Railway workmen pitched into the ancient hill at sunrise. In less than a day, they raised the hill and removed its surrounding gravel layers. As they did so, its composition was revealed. The upper layers contained several hundred shallow burials of a more recent vintage. Deeper, at the base of the hill, were more numerous and carefully arranged remains and artifacts of the ancient mound builders. And all of it, every ceremonial pipe, spear point, errant bicuspid, and decayed femur, was now filled for the new rail bed that ran into Menasha. A quarter of a century later, Publius Virgilius Lawson, lawyer, author, antiquarian, former mayor of Menasha, and manufacturer of pulleys, described the scene. They excavated and removed gravel over an area of about 5 acres and to a depth of about 20 feet, and with it, regardless of tradition or respect of the gravel, of the grave, went the Hill of the Dead, all in the same mixture. The skulls and bones and relics of ancient kings were strewn along the right-of-way for miles. The Northwestern Railroad line into Menasha had become a trail of bone crumbs. And it still is, by the way, when you ride your bicycles over it.
Yeah. And what happened to the remains? Were they reinterred or they just...
They were chopped into little bits and became filled for the railroad.
Oh, my God, that's
terrible. Yeah.
I don't think I can go on with this interview. That's horrible. Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, that's where the name comes from then, huh?
Yes.
Butamore.
And you pronounced it correctly.
Yeah, well, because I asked you in the men's room there. I mean, my dressing room. Wow. Whoa. Tell us about some of the early person. Now, this whole Doty is the guy who started this whole, as far as the city, towns.
Yeah,
Nina Menasha was Doty, right?
Yeah, there are a lot of names associated with that.
It started on the island, right? Doty's Island?
Right, and that's Doty's Island, and then there were several other figures, Curtis Reed, a lot of Yankees, and mm-hmm. they split up the land and started the cities, and the race between the Twin Cities began at that point.
Yeah, what was the idea between the original conflict between Nina and Menasha? I mean, was there a rivalry?
From day one, there was a rivalry, yeah. But it's really... not that interesting. It's the stuff they...
That's never stopped me before.
Well, they're split. There's the Nina Channel and the Menasha Channel. They run into Little Lake Butamore. They share the island. They call the island Doty Island. Mm-hmm. And it was a race between Curtis Reed and Harrison Reed to see who could grow a city faster.
Yeah, Curtis Reed and Harrison Reed.
Yeah. And they were... Mike, we're really going down boring territory.
Yeah, that's good. That's okay. Been there before.
Okay.
Well, what do you want to talk about then?
I want
a little more death, death of disaster, and disinterring graves and things. Just, you know, it's good for a while, but then some characters. We have some characters here from the wicked Fox Cities.
There's a lot of characters.
Yeah.
And
who's one of your favorite characters?
Well, he's not my favorite, yeah. But he's certainly the most interesting, and he certainly made the greatest mark in history, Joseph McCarthy.
Oh.
Yeah.
You just want to get around to him, huh?
Yeah, I do.
He's an Appleton boy?
Well, if you want to get back to Menasha, I was really racking my brain for famous Menashians, and all I could come up with is Liberace's mother.
Yeah. Now, was she born here?
She's from here, and Liberace's brother George was born here.
Yeah. But Liberace was not born anywhere. He was formed somewhere.
I think, and I, don't quote me on this, he was conceived in Menasha.
Yeah. He was, yeah. Did he have his musical training in Menasha?
His mother disapproved of music. She was a Polish lady, and she thought it was all that he had to get a real job and for a living.
Did she come around in the end? I mean, he was always dedicating things to
his mother. I've often wondered if any Polish person anywhere can come around in the end.
Well, that's not going to offend anybody. Okay, let's see. What else have we got here then? So much for the Poles.
Oh, they're very stubborn, Mike.
Yes. Okay, are you Polish?
No.
Then you can't say that. See, then you can't say that. If you're Polish, you're allowed to say that.
But I married one.
Okay, well, all right, there you go. That's fair then. Okay, well, and the Wicked Fox Cities. We're going to look, is there a movie coming out? Or?
No, but I'm glad you brought that up.
Yes. Because you're a filmmaker as well.
I'm a filmmaker, yes. and my last motion picture, The Life of Riley, starring Charles Nelson Riley, that we filmed in North Hollywood and Appleton, is finally, after a lot of wrangling and haggling, out on DVD and is available everywhere. Put it on your Netflix queue. Go to Amazon.
Yeah.
It's a great gift for the thespian in your family. I have one here for Mike.
Yeah, well, thank you. Yes. I love Charles Nelson Riley. Is he still alive?
No, he died 2 years ago.
He died 2 years ago.
He died right after we made it, and it was really sad because he had not yet made his 100th appearance on The Tonight Show.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And we were hoping it would coincide with the release of the film.
Yeah, he was the best center square.
Ever.
Ever. Ever will be.
But that's not what it's about.
No.
It's about a very complicated life.
Yeah.
And kind of a Polish mother.
Yeah.
But she wasn't.
Yeah. Can we tie him to Menasha somehow?
We can tie Charles Nelson Riley to Wisconsin very well, but not Menasha.
Yeah, to Appleton?
Part of the film was made in Appleton.
You said that.
That's all I can do.
That's all you can say? Well, does he have people in Appleton?
No, but Charles Nelson Riley is famous. People all know him as a game show fixture, but he was a famous acting teacher.
Ah.
And he ran a school with Uta Hagen. Charles Nelson Riley is a Tony Award winner, and so is Uta Hagen. Yeah. And they ran a school for years. They've trained many actors.
Appleton?
No, from Madison.
Oh, close enough. Well, thank you very much. I heard good things about this. Frank Anderson, ladies and gentlemen, Wicked Fox Cities is the book. The Life of Riley is the movie.
Thank you.
I don't know where to get the laudanum. Laudanum. But that's... you can find it.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you very much, Frank.